You know, the dream of every young adolescent heart is that at some point in time, you would be able to drive a vehicle, be able to go wherever you want, whenever you want. When I was young, I will never forget, there was only one thing standing in between me and my access to the open road in my 1989 Cavalier Z24. I want to show you this bad boy somewhere. Yeah, you're impressed, aren't you? It blew up 6 months later, but that still, regardless, I was waiting to get on the road with this thing right here. Only one thing standing in the way was a driver's education course. Learning the rules of the road, learning how to navigate all of that, learning how to live into all that. And I don't know about you, but my experience with driver's education was a little different than what I know a lot of people's were. I lived in Texas when I learned to drive. And so in Texas, at the time anyway, you were able to have your parents teach you how to drive. And so they would mail the curriculum and you would go through all the curriculum and your parents would log a certain amount of hours in the vehicle with you. I didn't have to go to school and like get in a vehicle with somebody with a clipboard and sweat bullets while they watched you parallel park a minivan or something like that. That was not my experience. I got in a vehicle with my dad. And so my dad, he taught me the ins and outs of how to drive. He taught me the rules of the road. He taught me about four-way stops. He taught me about stoplights and turn signals and all these things and how to do all of this. And so we spent a lot of time in the car together as he was teaching me how to do this. Now, any person legally to drive, you got to do driver's education to get the nice little card with the high-quality photo on there that you can put in your pocket, and that way you can actually legally get on the road. I was waiting for this. So I had to do all this time with my dad. I never forget the first time I drove on the interstate. Anybody else? It was like terrifying. I remember pulling up to it, and I grew up in Indiana after I learned to drive, and I moved back to Indiana, and all the streets in Indiana are very simple country roads, so everything was cool until we came to the interstate, 65. I remember my dad saying, okay, listen, we're going to pull onto this thing. What you have to do is you have to keep your foot on the pedal, and you keep speeding up as you get on. My, are you crazy? He's like, no, it's what you have to do. I feel like a NASCAR driver, you know? I'm looking at the Autobahn, people going warp speed by me, and so he's like, no, just keep going faster, faster, faster. And I'm like, and finally I just grabbed the wheel, turned my turn signal on, pulled into the lane. Before I knew it, I was flying with all these people and I was terrified. And truth be told, everything my dad told me, everything that he taught me, I listened to with full attentiveness because I was fully aware that what I was about to embark upon was very different than the golf carts that I'd driven as a young kid. This was a whole new ball game. And I was so scared that I was going to get it wrong. So everything he said, I listened to every single thing. I wrote it all down. I made sure I practiced it, all the hours in the vehicle together. It was a big deal for me. But I'll never forget, as soon as I got that little card with that sweet picture on it, as soon as I put it in my wallet, I got into my Cavalier about 72 hours after I got my license. All of a sudden, I knew everything about everything. My parents knew nothing about everything. So I began to ask questions like, wait a minute, if I just drive faster than the speed limit, then I can get there more quickly. That just makes sense. And I started saying things like, well, I don't need to use my turn signal because the people behind me, they have brakes too, just like me. And so if I pull in the next lane, they'll just put on the brakes, everything will be fine. And stop signs seem to be more of a suggestion than they are like the rule. So if I roll through a few, no big deal. Until I got my first ticket about 2 months into my driving experience. It was a bad one too, I'm ashamed to say. And as soon as I got it, all of a sudden this clarity came to me and I realized the rules of the road, all the things that I had learned, all of this, it still applied to me. I don't know about you, but as soon as you start driving too often, we become so comfortable. It becomes so normal for us to be on the road, to drive a vehicle that too often we start cutting corners here and there and everywhere. And the same thing is true, I believe, within our life. In this series, Rumble Strips, we've been talking about that God has placed within our life certain boundaries. Boundaries to help us navigate life with the relationships that we find ourselves within, whether it's parent and child or husband and wife or whether it's friendships or even like on social media, all these different relationships that we find ourselves within, there are boundaries, rumble strips, warning signs that God has put within our life so that we don't find ourselves in some kind of relational collision, so that we don't find ourselves in some kind of interpersonal fender bender. God didn't give us these boundaries to wreck our life. Instead, he gave these boundaries to us to keep us from wrecking our own life. But too often when we get comfortable, we throw it all to the wind. Truth is, you and me, all of us, we are created for relationship. You have been built, I mean, hardwired into your DNA, woven into the very fabric of who you are. You are meant to have relationship because you are made in the image of God. And our God is a relational being. He wants to know us, but he doesn't do it. He doesn't coerce us into this relationship. He doesn't force us into this relationship. Instead, our God invites us into this relationship. Our God is relational, but he's boundaried. As he created us and breathed life into us, he gave us a will and a desire. And he's always said to us, this road of life that you're on, I want to help direct that. I want to help guide that for you, but that's your choice. And if you just respond, I'll guide you. I'll direct you. And so this God that we have a relationship with, this vertical relationship, is ever important. But at the same time as he's created us, we have these horizontal relationships that we rub shoulders with at all times. And the same is true there. When God created these relationships for us to have, he wants us to have boundaries as well. He wants us to be able to understand where we start and where we stop and someone else begins. And if we don't, if we disregard these boundaries, if we get too comfortable on the road of life, if we're not careful, we find ourselves in all kinds of chaos. Of all the things that we do day in and day out, I would contend that driving is the most dangerous. No matter how far you're going from home, incredibly dangerous. But a close second is interacting with people. So dangerous. I mean, think about the workplace, the people that you come in contact with. Think about your family. Maybe even this morning, on the way to church today, all kinds of conflict and chaos broke out. It's dangerous. And we all experience this. This is the reason God has given us these boundaries. Because Jesus, the very end of his life, right before he's arrested and crucified and he gives up his life, he has this prayer. And what he prays is, God, I would pray that all of these people, those who are here right now, and those who would believe in me one day, that all of them would be one. That they would be in community with one another. Not that they would have walls up from each other, but instead they would be connected in community. And if you're gonna have any kind of community, that community has to have property lines. This is where my property goes to, and boom, after this, this is where your property begins. That's community. That's how you relate to one another. And the same thing is true in our life. If we're gonna be in community with each other, if we're gonna be in the oneness that Jesus wants us to have and the thing that he prayed for, then we have to be clear on where we stop and someone else begins. Because my experience, and maybe yours is too, is that we have a tendency to have an extreme reaction when it comes to boundaries. Maybe even when we started this series and you heard the word boundaries, you were like, sweet. I can't wait for all the people that drive me crazy to get out of my life. Pastor Trevor said I can have boundaries, so back up. That's not the extreme that we're looking for. Too often we throw up all of these walls. What we end up doing is we end up keeping all the people out of our life that we should be letting in, and we keep all the things in that we should be letting out. Boundaries shouldn't work like that. In fact, I believe that our boundaries, they have to have gates to keep us from harming ourselves. Boundaries should have gates. When I grew up in Kentucky, I grew up in this small little town. I lived in one of the largest neighborhoods in the town. And so in that neighborhood, all kinds of families had kids the same age as my sister and I. And so my favorite thing to do was after school to run in the house, throw my stuff down, and take off out in the neighborhood to go find somebody to hang out with and do something fun with. And so we'd have to like travel the roads of the neighborhood to get from this house to this friend or that friend. And there were sidewalks and you could walk on them and stuff. But I began to realize it took me forever to walk the sidewalks from my house all the way to this kid's house or that kid's house. So my friends and I talked, we're like, listen, all we have to do is walk through this yard. If we go through this dude's yard, then we'll be on the next road like that. We'll like take 5 minutes off our travel time. So sure enough, we started doing this. So we get close to a yard, and you had to be very strategic about this. You couldn't do the same yard every time. People would catch up on that. And plus, if a car was coming by, you had to act really cool until they went by, and then boom, you would dart across the yard as quick as you could. So either on foot or on bike, this is exactly what we did. We would make it all the way across the neighborhood. The problem was many people in this neighborhood, maybe like you too, have spent a lot of time on their yard. And so the more we ran through the yard or biked through the yard, eventually when it would get wet or something like that, it was big problems. They get really, really upset, so you had to run really fast. And so we get to the next road and then the next road and we make it all the way through. People began to do something interesting. They began to build fences because apparently they don't want young kids running through the yard, wrecking all the landscaping and doing everything that we were doing. So these fences began to come up so we couldn't travel through the yard anymore. But always, on every single fence, there was a gate, either on the front or on the side, for a very simple reason. You couldn't just keep everything out. I mean, yeah, I don't want these kids coming by 3 hours, but I want to make sure I can get a mower back there, invited friends, you know, approved things can come into this yard, but not everybody. This is how we have to begin to view our life. According to the book we've been going through, this boundaries book that we went through as a staff, we've introduced to you, it's not helpful to have a boundary that can't breathe. It's not helpful to have a boundary that has just walls so high, because what we end up doing is, because a lot of us have had an experience where we were hurt somewhere in the past. Maybe it was abuse of some kind. Maybe you were taken advantage of. Maybe you've said yes to so many things you have no idea how to say no, but either way, you have created a situation where you've been harmed and you've been hurt, and so your gut reaction is to erect every wall that you possibly can. But in doing so, if we're not careful, we keep all of the people out of our life that could potentially come in to help us grow past that and move past that. There's something about being vulnerable with each other and realizing there's a gate that I could open up to allow someone into my life so that I can move past the place that I find myself right now to a more healthy person. But potentially you've had the exact opposite experience. Maybe instead of having these walls, your relational boundaries are like a sieve. Like everything is invited in. Yeah, come on in. Every person, everything. And the problem is with that as well, there's no boundaries at all. And too often we allow things into our life then that will harm us. They'll do all kinds of things to us that'll take us to a place we never wanted to be. It's very destructive. Maybe for you, peer pressure is a major issue. And maybe as you look around your life, you realize that you're the common denominator with all the relational issues that you find yourself within. You know, like this person, but wait a minute, they're all connected to me. Too often we're allowing these relationships in, but instead, what if we had gates? What if we had gates in these boundaries so that we could have honesty and vulnerability and yet be protected? Who is one person in your life that if you had the boldness to step out and invite to come through the gate into your life, that it would change everything for you? And who is potentially some person, one person in your life that you need to nicely escort out of your property right on through the gate because you're causing harm to me and I'm responsible for my life. And when God breathed life into me, he's given me this life to live and I need to have boundaries. In order for us to take our lives back, I believe what we have to first and foremost do is recognize the places that we become so comfortable with the relational aspects that we find ourselves in that we've neglected the rules of the road. You see, God has placed these boundaries and these markers and these rumble strips within our life so that we could be in healthy relationship with one another. And when we disregard these, we find ourselves in chaos. So I want to introduce to you this morning three different rules that I think are rules for the road that if we were to apply them to our life, it would change everything for us. We'd find ourselves in a more healthy space simply because of these three things. I believe they are part of the biblical story from front to back. I believe they're proved in everyday life. And I think if you take these things and apply them to any relationship that you exist in, parent, child, wife, husband, friendships, even social media, it could change everything. And what I have found is that these rules can translate anywhere. I just got back from Alaska, and when you drive in South Carolina, guess what? The rules are the exact same in Alaska. The same things apply. They translate from here or to there, and I believe these rules are those kinds of things for us, rules for the road. And the first one is this: look both ways. If you want to have healthy relationships, if you want to have healthy boundaries, one of the first things you have to do is be able to look both ways. This is one of the most elementary things that you learn as a kid when you walk with your parents and you're crossing a road, right? What's the first thing you say as a parent? Now look both ways. My children never listen, but this is what you try to ingrain them in their head. Look both ways, because one day they're not gonna be walking, they're gonna be driving. How many times I've come to an intersection of some kind and I've stopped and I've looked to the right, everything seems clear, I'm ready to roll until I just happen to glance left and guess what? If I would've pulled out, there would've been a collision. There would've been a major issue. I have to look both ways. And so the way this works out within our life is actually found in the book of Galatians, chapter 6. This whole section in chapter 6 is focused on relational boundaries because Paul is writing to some people, this early church who's existing in Galatia, and he's specifically disagreeing with some teaching that's going on from some folks called Judaizers. And they're teaching these Galatian Christians, they're keeping them from being free in their relationship with Jesus, laying down all of these kind of boundaries that are actually unhelpful. There's all this conflict taking place and all this chaos. And so Paul is responding to this in chapter 6. And he says this: you are to restore relationship. In verse 1, here's what he says: brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may find yourselves being tempted. So the question here is, what happens when there's some kind of relational conflict? How do you hit the reset button? How do you restart things? And in verse 1, there's a very key word that's offered here, and it says this: brothers and sisters, if someone has sinned, if someone has sinned, if someone has messed up, if someone has crossed the boundary, if. In fact, Jesus echoes this very same phrase in Matthew 18, 15, and in Luke 17, 3, he says, if someone has sinned. The suggestion here seems to be that Paul is saying, maybe someone didn't. Maybe the thing that you're so upset about, maybe the thing you're so bothered by, maybe this actually wasn't something that was egregious towards you. Maybe their thoughts and their actions and their motives, you've concluded this certain thing, but maybe if you were to stop and look both ways and take in all the information, maybe you would find out that's actually not the case. Paul seems to suggest that you need to gather all of the information first before you come to a conclusion. Do your research. Look both ways. Here's what I've found in my life, that there are some people who are looking for a fight because they're not in one. There are some people who they are trying to find any reason to cause some kind of collision, some kind of interpersonal fender bender. They're used to this, and without this, they don't know what to do. So there are some people who are looking for a fight just because they're not in one. And when people do this, what they do is they end up jumping to all kinds of conclusions from their own perspective and not being willing to look out, look both ways, and gather all the information and see two sides to every story. What if we were willing to slow down? What if we were willing to look both ways and gather all the information before we respond, potentially in a way that's going to cause some kind of conflict? Maybe that person didn't get your text. Maybe that person has a circumstance that's happening around them you know nothing about. Maybe what happened was an accident. Maybe that feeling that you have that that person is not supplying for you, maybe it was never their responsibility in the first place. And maybe you're expecting them to be perfect when, newsflash, they are a human. And too often when we don't look both ways, we only look from one perspective and we can get so upset over something that actually shouldn't cause us conflict. You see, the end goal of any kind of disregarded rumble strip, any kind of boundary that's been breached, is always to restore relationship. That's what Paul says in chapter 6, verse 1, to restore relationship. The image for this word restore is very specific. This image, this Greek word, is actually what they talk about when they talk about setting a broken bone or repairing or mending a fishing net that's been torn. The end goal is always to restore, not to cause conflict. If the end result is to restore, then no matter how painful it may be, the goal is for that bone to be set, for that net to be repaired. And it comes by, I believe, us looking both ways, not just from one perspective. Galatians chapter 6 goes on to express even more about this concept in verse 2 through verse 7. It says this: carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to keep the Spirit and to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will receive eternal life. Looking both ways goes beyond just being able to take in all the information. It actually goes to also realizing that the conflict you may be in, it may not just be about that person. It may have something to do with you. It takes two to tango, and potentially the conflict that you're in is not first and foremost a them problem. It may be first and foremost a me problem. What part am I contributing to this particular conflict? What part am I contributing to this boundary that's been breached in some kind of way? It's like years ago, my wife and I, we were living in a little house here in Lexington, and during that day, my dad and I had been outside all morning in the summertime, super hot, working on the roof and the side of my house. And so we came in for lunch, and we're sitting down eating and stuff. My wife's there, I'm there, my dad and my mom are there. And we were newly pregnant, about to have our first son, Eli, and we were a little nervous about it and stuff. And so we're eating and hanging out, when all of a sudden, my mom, just kind of nonchalantly on the table, begins to offer some advice to us about what we should do about inducing our son and how this whole thing should play out and everything. Which shouldn't have been a problem. But for some reason, it just like got under my skin for some crazy reason. And so I was hot, first and foremost, okay? I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just telling you the facts. I was hot. My wife and I had just gotten married pretty recently. We were newly pregnant. And so we were new to this whole like in-law boundaries and parents' boundaries. We're trying to figure this whole thing out. So for some reason, I translated what she was saying to me as trying to boss me around and get a little bit nosy. So I'm not proud of this, but I said to my mom, hey, listen, mom, you drove separately from dad, so if you want to go home, feel free. Son of the year, I know. So I dropped this bomb, and I will never forget. My mom stands up from the table and instantly tears up. And she walks across the living room, and she goes to the front door, and she turns around, and she says, Jenna, I love you, and slams the door and walks on out. And I remember there was something really weird inside me. I was so proud of myself for like standing up and putting this boundary down. But I look over at my wife and my dad and they're like, what's your problem? Like, what are you talking about? That was nosy. Like, yeah, but so all of a sudden I had to deal with all this stuff. And what I realized, it wasn't just about my mom. It had actually more to do with me. To be honest, I was terrified about having my first kid. I'd never done that before. To be honest with you, I just worked my butt off outside, sweating like crazy in South Carolina, and I was not ready for this conversation. Truth is, I'd never been a husband before with in-laws and parents and working this whole new boundaries thing out. I'd never done this. And so instead of being slow to this whole thing, instead of looking both ways, instead I just saw it from one perspective and I just lashed out. It took me hours, but finally I called my mom back and I said, Mom, I am sorry. I'm sorry. Because I realized there's more to this story than just my end of the story. And so for that, I want to apologize. This may be the most difficult aspect of living these rules of the road, but I would contend it's actually one of the most important, that we as people have to become willing and honest with ourselves. I love what Galatians says, do not deceive yourself. Test your actions. Here's the truth, you can't trust you when it comes to these relational boundaries. You have to test everything because we're so good at tricking ourselves. We're so good at puffing ourselves up and having pride. And the truth is, if I admitted it, if I was honest, if I had a sober self-assessment, I had a lot of part to play in the boundary that was crossed. And I needed to say, I'm sorry. I think one of the most powerful things that we can do when it comes to relationships is learn those two words, I'm sorry. Even when it comes to my two boys right now at 6 and 3, there are often times where I'm not proud of it. I cross boundaries relationally with them during the day. I get upset about this. I get upset about that. I don't look both ways. I only see it from my perspective. And I have to be the kind of dad who's willing to come and lay down in bed with my son at night and say, Bubba, I'm sorry. Daddy was wrong. I messed up. How else is he gonna learn this as he gets older? How is he gonna learn to have boundaries himself? How is he gonna learn to look both ways unless I model it for him? What if your goal in your marriage was not to be right all the time? What if the goal in your marriage was actually be vulnerable, to be open and to be honest? How would that change the relationship? I believe it is so important for us to look both ways because I believe that's the only way we can be really honest about what's taking place in the conflict we might find ourselves in. Look both ways. The second rule of the road is found in Galatians chapter 6, 2-7 as well. And I believe this one is the only way to maintain ourselves really safely in this road of life that we find ourselves in. And it's this, to stay in our own lane. To stay in our own lane. You see, roads are designed in such a way that when vehicles travel on them, you have your lane, I have my lane. If we didn't have these ways of separating each other from each other and it was just a free-for-all, guess what? Conflicts would happen all of the time. There would be no insurance companies. They couldn't afford it because people would just do whatever they want to. So these boundaries, again, are not to help us wreck our life. They're help us to save our life. And so just as we travel through life in this kind of way, you, every single one of us in this room, we have our own lane that we are meant to live as well. When God created you, he breathed his life into you. He's given you responsibility for your own life. You have a lane to live. You have a lane to go through. And here's maybe a shocking thing. Your lane is not someone else's lane. And their lane is not your lane. The responsibility that God has given you is for you to live your life. And our lane is not someone else's. Here's what Galatians 6 verse 5 says. Paul says, each of you should carry your own load. Each of you should carry your own load. Your responsibility for your life, the lane that you have been given to live. In fact, the Greek word for this word, load, is very simple. It means cargo or it means burden of daily toil. Kind of simply put, the load that we're meant to carry is like the daily grind. This is your daily work. This is your marriage. This is your parenting. This is school. This is paying bills. This is dating. This is your lane. This is your business. And this is something that you are responsible for. So part of this particular rule, staying in your lane, is recognizing that you're responsible for the things that matter to your life, that your choices have consequences. The things you choose to do will take you someplace. That your feelings, your emotions, and your attitudes, they're meant for you to deal with. It's your responsibility. So they have an effect. If we're not careful, we find ourselves disregarding the rumble strips in our life and we take on too much responsibility that in the end should be someone else's, or we take too much of our load and give it to someone else when it's in fact our responsibility within our life. Sometimes I wonder this, How much of what weighs me down day in and day out is not mine to carry? How much of what weighs me down each and every day is not mine to carry? Am I out of my lane in some kind of way? Years ago, we had a student who came through our youth program that I spent a lot of my life with. Many, many hours, many, many lunches, many, many dinners. I mean, so much energy was put towards this student. And I loved this kid like crazy. And it seemed like every time he would fall into a situation, I would be the first one there to come and rescue him. You know, every time there's an issue, I'd be the first one to come and defend him. And a lot of times here at the church, even people would shake their heads when this kid's name would come up. And I'd be the first one to say, no, I believe in this kid. I believe what God can do. And so what ended up happening is we spent so many years together like this, and I began to realize somewhere along the way that I don't think I was doing him a service. I think I was doing him a disservice by the way that I was treating him. Because too often there were these issues that would come up that I would rescue him from, and he never felt the weight of it. I remember I was reading scripture, and the scripture came to mind as I was reading through, and it was where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says to him, hey, listen, don't cast pearls to swine. What do pigs know to do with pearls? They have no idea. And I felt God just speak to my spirit and say, hey, listen, what you've been doing over the years with this particular student has actually harmed him, not helped him. I thought this was what love looked like. I thought it was just to rescue and take care of. But potentially I began to realize that I was actually robbing him of the life lessons that God was trying to teach him. I was swerving out of my lane and causing all kinds of destruction along the way. And so we finally had a lunch together. I said, hey, listen, I love you like crazy. I would literally do anything for you. But the truth is our relationship has to change. It's got to change because some of the responsibilities that are your own in your life, I've been taking on for you. I'm afraid I've been robbing you from what God is trying to do in your life. And sometimes I think that we carry more than we should. We take on more of a load than is our own to take on. And it might be some kind of savior complex. We want to save everybody with good intention. Or potentially we made some kind of mistake in the past. And so because of that one mistake, we're trying to make up for it by exhausting ourselves with all these different things that are not our lane to have. But what's interesting is there's this concept that comes up in verse 7 of Galatians 6. And it says, God cannot be mocked. People reap what they sow. People reap what they sow. This principle shows up all throughout scripture. And it's not bad or it's not good. It just is. This is a fact of life. And so whatever road we have chosen to be on, it will take us someplace. Whatever road we've chosen, it will end us in some kind of area, some kind of place. And too often we find ourselves being frustrated by that. And sometimes we blame God. How could I find myself in this kind of location? But if we're honest, if we look back at the decisions that we've made with the responsibility that God has given us, we have robbed ourselves potentially of the recalculation God is trying to do within us. And we found ourselves here. And these natural laws are meant to teach us and to shape us. And it may be painful. It may be hard. But that temporary pain may save someone from a lot of pain later on. And the other side of the coin, I think, is true as well. Just as we too often go into someone else's lane, there may be someone that's coming into your lane. There might be someone who's swerving into the place that's been your life to live. And some of us in the room this morning, we need to turn on the blinker and get out of the way. Because perhaps your unwanted, one-size-fits-all, unsolicited parenting advice is actually you swerving into somebody else's lane. Or potentially, what if you bailing your child out every sticky situation they find themselves in is actually keeping them from growing to the person God wants them to be instead of learning as they go through some of these things? Or what if your subtle post on Facebook or Instagram that may or may not have been directed at a certain friend is actually you disregarding a boundary that should exist there? In what kind of ways are we finding ourselves in someone else's lane, swerving out of our own? We all have a load to bear in this life. We all have a responsibility for the way that we live. And it's time for us to get 10 and 2, get back on the wheel and keep trucking down our own lane that God has given us to live. But there's also a very interesting piece in Galatians that we cannot overlook. It's Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. And the writer says this. He says, carry each other's burdens. Carry each other's burdens. And you might say, wait a minute, you said that we're supposed to stay in our own lane. Now you're telling me to help carry someone else's burden. And that's right. It's because the words that are used here are very different from one another. First, he says, you live your own life. You stay in your lane. Everyone has a load to bear. And that load is daily toil. It's your responsibility. But then he also says, carry one another's burdens. This word is completely different. This word is about excess burdens. It's more than someone can carry on their own. And he says, carry one another's burdens. It's like my son Eli and Owen, when we get home from driving somewhere in town and we park in the driveway, my wife's thing is this: those shoes that you wore into this car, that you took off in this car, those are your responsibilities. You take them inside. And it never happens, but this is like the goal. So we park and she's like, shoes, inside, and they take off. And then she gets all upset and we gotta like start all over again. But when we come home from grocery shopping and we have like a trunk full of groceries, anybody else in the room, like I do not like taking multiple trips to the vehicle to get groceries. Anyone else? Thank you, I'm just being honest, being vulnerable here. I hate it. And so what I will do is I will hang groceries on everything I possibly can. I'll have like 400 bags in one hand and 400 in the other. I just count it as exercise and I walk inside with all of it because my wife will be like, listen, that's a lot, honey. Why don't you put it down? I'll come help you. I'm like, no. I'm doing this in one shot and then it'll be done. I'll be inside. It'll be taken care of. Truth is, it's more than any person should bear. It's more of a burden. Shoes, that's your responsibility. But all of this, someone has to help with this. Truth is, in the life of people around us, there may be tragedies, crisis, unforeseen difficulty. There might be a death in the family. Someone got sick. Someone lost a job. There's a deployment. Someone's overseas. Injustice of some kind. These are the places that we are meant to step into and help carry a burden for someone else because someone may not be able to carry it on their own. We should treat others the way Christ has treated us, who has gone out of his way to carry a burden that we couldn't carry on our own. I think of some students here at 9 o'clock this morning who just got back from Next Step in West Virginia who've been carrying loads for other people because they can't carry it on their own. There are students right now this week who are at Salkehatchee who are helping folks who have burdens that are far beyond their own abilities. We carry one another's burdens. You know, I want to live my life with boundaries the way Jesus did. I love the way Jesus lived his life because the people who wanted to be around him, guess what? It wasn't the religious people. It was the sinners. My question is why? Because in our culture right now, most people want to stay away from Christians. But Jesus, something was different about him. And I believe it's found in the Gospels when it says that when Jesus came, he came to the world full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. I want to live my life like that. I want to have that kind of impact. I want to have those kinds of boundaries. A boundary that is full of grace and taking all the information in, looking both ways, staying in my lane, but at the same time, full of truth. What is the most loving thing for you to do in the situation that you find yourself in? That's what Jesus would do. What is the most loving response? And maybe the most loving response for you may be to say no. No. There's a boundary here. Maybe the most loving thing for you to do would actually to not rescue, to not pay for the semester of school, maybe to not text that person back. What is the graceful and truthful way to respond? What is the most loving thing to do? How do we stay in our lanes and respect those responsibilities while carrying the burdens of those who can't carry it on their own? Lastly, the last rule of the road, I believe, is very, very simple, and it's keep aware. Keep aware. I would love to say that when you drive down the road and you go a few miles, eventually the rumble strips are gone, everything's fine, everything gets better. That's not true. No matter how far you are going, you have to stay aware the entire time. The entire time, because you're never gonna find yourself in a place where it's not going to be a difficulty, where there's not gonna be a potential conflict. If you've ever driven across a rumble strip before, you know it's the most unpleasant experience that a human being could ever have. As soon as you hit it, your teeth like chatter out of your head, coffee spills everywhere, you gotta get an alignment on your car. And guess what? It's meant to do that. Because it's only meant to do one thing, save your life. That's the only reason they exist. So if you're sleeping, it's meant to wake you up. Years ago, I was traveling from Indiana to Kentucky or to South Carolina. And I had one of my best friends with me named Patrick, and we were hanging out in Indiana with my family and visiting people and stuff. And you know, we knew we had to get back. It was a long drive and stuff, about 12 hours, but there was people who were doing fun stuff. We didn't want to leave yet. My parents were ordering Chinese. I love Chinese. So we're like, let's stick around. We'll eat some Chinese. And before we know it, it's like 10 p.m. in Indiana, but we got to get back. So we're like, we'll just drive through the night. No big deal. So we take off, and I don't advise this for anyone. I'm just telling you a story. So we're driving from Indiana, and somewhere in Tennessee around Knoxville area, I wake up to my car going across the rumble strip as I'm driving into the ditch. And I look over and my best friend Patrick is gripping the handle next to the door and he's going, help me, Jesus. And I'm like, what is happening? So sure enough, I grab the wheel, I pull it back on the road and we realize maybe we should take a nap. And so we stopped and took a nap. And the only thing I believe that saved my life and his life, guess what it was? A rumble strip. Man, we have to keep aware at all times. There's always opportunity for relational conflict. There's always opportunity for some kind of collision. There's always opportunity for some kind of difficulty. We have to stay aware. And if we don't, we get comfortable with what it's like to live this road of life. And we get comfortable with all these things. We fall back into old and bad habits. But the rules of the road, we have to remind ourselves often and keep aware. Galatians chapter 6, 9 and 10, the discussion ends this way as the writer says this: let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good for all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Don't give up. Keep aware. Maybe even as this series has begun, you've decided to put boundaries within your life and it's not gone well. Maybe this first week you've seen even more conflict because you've tried to put these boundaries up within your life, these healthy ways of living. Don't give up. Don't give up. I mean, how else would my kids learn to have good boundaries in their lives without me having good boundaries in our life? It doesn't mean they always respond. It doesn't mean they always do what I'm asking them to do. But if nothing else, I'm teaching this, that this is the way you live your life. Maybe with your spouse, you have these boundaries now. You said, hey, listen, this is okay within our relationship, but this is not. This is a boundary that I have to lay down. Maybe it's been difficult, but don't give up. Keep aware. Because if we do, we will reap a harvest. There will be a good return for our efforts in this kind of way. We will have healthy relationships if we don't give in. Do not become weary of doing good. There will be a payoff. It will be worth it. I spend time with so many students through the life of this church, and to be honest with you, when I see a student, no matter what grade they are, I don't see the kid as they are right then and there. I see who they could be. I see what God is gonna do within them. And you've got some relationships that are not what you want them to be right now, but it doesn't mean they can't be something else. Don't give in. Keep going. Stay aware. And your awareness has to go beyond just you. You have no business keeping someone attentive to a boundary that they know nothing about. So tell them, this is where I stop and here's where you begin. If you cross this boundary, this is what causes conflict with us. So my very first ticket, I'm not proud of it. It was a big one. So I had to come home and tell my parents about this whole thing. The cop got me and had me sit in his car. It was so embarrassing in this person's yard. They come out and watching the whole thing like it was a show. I'm like, oh my gosh. And so I get home, it's a huge ticket. And we started doing some research and we found that I could take a class. Like there was this refresher for a driver's ed. If I took it, all my points would go off my license and the ticket would go down. I'm like, absolutely, whatever I have to do to make sure I can be able to drive a car still. I was so nervous about it. I took the test and it took all of it down. It made me be able to keep going with my life. And I'm afraid that some of us in the room this morning, maybe you feel like there's been so much mess up, so much difficulty, so much struggle, so much trial that you can't possibly move forward. I want to remind you today that you can. That these rules of the road, they can apply today for you to keep aware, for you to stay in your lane, for you to look both ways. You can start and practice this right now to find healthy boundaries and healthy relationships that I believe God wants for all of us. So if you would bow with me this morning, let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would show us this morning that within our life and these relationships that we find ourselves within, there are boundaries, God, that you want us to have with good gates, God. Give us discernment to know who to let in and who to escort out. I pray also, Father, that you'd help us to be able to look both ways, to recognize we may have more to play in this difficulty than we thought. Help us to be honest with ourselves. Help us to stay in our lane, God, to see our responsibility as something that we should take part in, not to hand it off to someone else, but also, God, give us the eyes to see the burdens of others so we can carry theirs and help them. And lastly, God, would you keep us aware at all times to notice and see, God, where you've placed these boundaries so that we might live within them, so we might experience the full life of Christ. We love you today, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.